Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Culture Shock Entertainment Report with Beth, a.k.a. B. True, and my cousin Linda, Miss Linda Oliver, native of Jackson, Mississippi, based in the DFW Metroplex. We've been talking about Talent Tuesday, but I titled the show Thankful Tuesday, and we can also still talk about talents of our own talents and talents of others that we admire, but after a beautiful Memorial Day weekend, you know, it's just good to express how thankful and grateful we are in this life just to have another day. And also hot topics. Again, for some reason, Cousin Linda, your native Mississippi, stay in the news. So those of you that have not heard the story of the young man who was shot by a police officer in Indianola, Mississippi. That's the birthplace of B.B. King and where his museum is housed. The young man still don't understand why he was shot by this, who happens to be the same color as the 11-year-old African-American. He still cannot understand why he was shot in the hospital for 5 days last week. When he called because there was an emergency going on where his one of his siblings' father was there committing domestic violence on his mother, and his mother asked him to call 911. So he and his mother, and I happen to know his attorney, Attorney Carlos Moore. You all, many of you know him. He's just as popular as Benjamin, as the Honorable Attorney Crump, and he speaks out on a lot of things, and he happens to be the president of the Black Lawyers Association also, so he travels a lot, but he's based in, amazingly, he's a judge, and he's based in Grenada, Mississippi. I know some people might say Grenada. We say Grenada down here in Mississippi, but I know some Northerners may say, that's Grenada, but we say Grenada here. But it's not a laughing. I'm laughing at the different, and that's something we need to talk about too, Cousin Linda, because I noticed you and I are often talking about the correct pronunciation of certain words. That's something we should talk about on a future episode. Part of good etiquette also.
If you're Spanish or speak Spanish or whatever, you might want to call it Granada or Granada. But, yeah, and English word, we, you know, made it an English word. So if we want to pronounce it Grenada, we can, just like Nevada and Nevada. People who live in Nevada say it's pronounced Nevada. But when we're talking about Las Vegas, we say Nevada. But since I had friends
right.
that lived in Las Vegas and the Las Vegas area or Reno, and they corrected me and told me it's Nevada. That's what I've been calling it, is Nevada.
Yes, right. And I've had northern friends, Yankees, friends in, you know, from New York, Chicago, Indiana. Like for instance, if we're talking about HBCUs and Alcorn comes up. It's not Alcorn. It's Alcorn. Alcorn comes up. Look, I'm pronouncing it like a northerner. Alcorn might come up. But I would be corrected by a northerner it's not all corn, it's all corn. I'm like, it's all corn. That's how we pronounce it.
Right. Well, when I was in the telephone company, people of the other race used to call Tougaloo Tugaloo, and how they got how they got Tugaloo out of Tougaloo, I don't know.
I don't know
but
either because there's the O.
Yeah, a U. Tougaloo,
yes.
You know, I don't know. But you've heard me talk about Jimi Hendrix. You know, he was the young man
yes.
that used to take us out to lunch and dinner all the time. Well, I talked to him
yes.
a few weeks ago, and I said something about the Caribbean, and he told me it was Caribbean. And he
right.
said, well, how do you, yeah, why do you pronounce it Caribbean? I said, well, when I was in the Caribbean in Jamaica and the Bahamas, that's the way the natives pronounced it was Caribbean. I said, they ought to know how to pronounce the area in which they live.
Exactly. Because
so,
I like to pronounce it, you know.
Yeah,
so when you all come down, when we come north, I guess we have to speak your language.
Right. I think I was mentioning
so
the other show that when I moved to Dallas, I was pronouncing cities here incorrectly, and I'm so glad they corrected me because I thought Waxahachie was Waxahachie. And they have
right.
a Nevada. They pronounce Nevada as Nevada, Texas.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So I guess it's just
I'm really shocked at how the dialects are different in the regions of Texas. I love Dallas, but when I was north of Dallas in Tacoma and Oklahoma, I was just amazed. And it's a different dialect, a different way to pronounce certain words. I'm like, oh, my God. So it was just amazing. My Mississippi accent, Dallas accent, and Tacoma accent saying things the way they say things. I'm like,
right.
okay. You don't say that. You say this. Oh, okay. I've been saying that all my life.
I don't correct people on how to pronounce certain words because I feel like if that's the way they want to say it, whether it's correct or incorrect, that's their business. But I do get upset when people correct me. I don't correct them, but they're quick to correct me, even though I know
right.
I'm correct.
Right. But put your hands on your hips and say, don't you know I'm an educator and I am world class? Right.
And that's the thing. I have traveled to a lot of the places that they want to correct me on.
Exactly. I think I've been corrected on that Caribbean situation. Right.
Well, like
I'm like, wait a second.
I
might not have been to many islands, but I have been to the Bahamas twice, and that's where I would like our winter home to be. So
well,
I know.
I know better. I was told it was Caribbean. So that's the way I pronounce it.
Because I was glad that you... Because I was in Mykonos, where our favorite chef, Salt Bae, is right now. And I was glad because I think I was saying Mykonos, and you corrected me on saying it the correct
yeah.
way.
Yeah. Well,
I didn't lie.
I've been told it was Mykonos. Well,
correctly, because I know they're listening also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
you
quickly, like...
Well, when you were saying Mykonos, I'm thinking, is that somewhere in the United States? And I think you mentioned Greece. Well, now, from what I'm told, you might be correct, Beth, might be Mykonos, but I've been told it was Mykonos.
Yeah. And someone who loves the stories of Zeus and our gods, I should know. Right.
Well, who knows in this day and age?
But I didn't mind. I was glad you quickly. When you know, you might be like, wait a second, I am saying that wrong. Uh-huh.
Well, you were saying, you prefaced the sentence by saying I might be pronouncing it wrong, myconus. And I was thinking, is
right.
that somewhere in Mississippi
yes.
that I've never heard of? And when
it
you
definitely
said, sounds
like somewhere in Mississippi, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it might
so
be in Mississippi, and that might be how we pronounce it here in Mississippi.
You never know with the suburb of of Clarksdale, Alligator, Mississippi. So Myconus might be a suburb of Iuka.
Right. When I first heard of Iuka, it's weird you mention that, and I remember they had their first black female mayor many years ago. May she rest in peace. But, yeah, I had never heard of Iuka, and I always thought that was such a unique name, Iuka. And I know people pronounce that name wrong. Look, I know people miss that name of Yuka and Yiyuka, as
well,
short
is
as it
an
is.
Indian? Is it a Native American name? Because so many names in Mississippi are Native
yes.
American. So.
Right,
so
right. Because a lot of people don't realize that, but the history of the American Indians and the Choctaw Indians especially, you know. And but, yeah, I believe it is an Indian name.
Okay.
A lot of French and a lot of Indian names down here in this area.
Yeah, on the Gulf Coast especially, you have those French-sounding or French names, Gautier and Sauchet.
And Cousin Linda, yes. And,
huh?
Right. While we're on the pronunciation of the word, what about idols? I know a friend of mine in law enforcement, he just retired. We went to lunch a couple of weeks ago to that Mexican restaurant. We were talking about how people reference items differently, like soda and like beverages, for instance, like soda. Some people say soda. Some people say pop. Some people...
And
any type of drink is a
pop.
Coca-Cola, is a Coke. You know, some people, any beverage, Sprite, Pepsi, anything is a Coke.
I
when you travel,
up,
how do you notice that?
We referred to soft drinks as drinks, just drinks, period.
Right.
And one of my classmates had said, I think we were in the 11th grade, when she said she went to Chicago and they walked into
mm-hmm.
the store, looked, you know, I guess 15, 16 years old, and they asked to purchase some drinks, and they were rudely received by the clerk who said, well, we don't serve alcohol to children. And she said that's when she learned that they called. The area that she was in Chicago, she said they referred to them as pops. And I was
mm-hmm.
thinking, why would they call them pops? And certain other people north would say soda pop. And I was wondering,
right.
well, are they all, do they have soda? I don't get it. And so when alcohol became legal in most of Mississippi, instead of just saying drinks, we started saying soft drinks. And that's
yes.
what I just kept saying was soft drinks. And over here in Texas, I noticed they refer to them as soft drinks. Some
right,
people
right.
who may have moved here from other places may call them pops or soda pops and sodas and whatever. But I think, well, at least the Texans that I associated with call them soft drinks.
And there's soft drinks here in Mississippi. So now you just explained the origin of the definition of soft drink, because when it became a problem, people not knowing, okay, drink. Wait a second, you want an alcoholic drink? So
right.
I guess that's when it's alcoholic beverages and soft drinks. You know, not just a beverage, but an alcoholic beverage. So that's a good point to make. That's when soft drinks became popular.
Yeah.
Hmm. And also my friend had said that when he was living in Minneapolis, he asked for a hot dog, and they didn't know what he was talking about. That Northerners say Frank. That Northerners say Frank.
Well,
but,
I don't know
you know,
why, because Well, America is known for baseball, hot dogs, and apple pie.
Exactly.
I would think hot dogs.
That's an American thing. Apple pie, baseball.
And hot dogs.
Hot
dogs, apple pie. Now, the wiener, the
Elvis
meat
Presley.
May be referred to. Yeah.
I had to say that for the fellow Elvis Presley lover.
The meat may be referred to as a Frankfurter, and Franks for short. And, you know, there are
right.
ballparks. But when it's put between two pieces of bread, it's a hot dog.
Exactly.
So I don't know why they would do that. They must be from, not. I was going to say even in a foreign country. Because when I was in London and Paris way back in 79,
yes.
Laverne and I had to resort to asking for hot dogs because they were on the menu.
Oh.
And you knew what a hot dog
Whoa.
Was. I mean, they tasted horrible, horrible.
Oh.
But at least,
wow.
they, you know, they knew what we referred to as hot dogs. Beth, what is that,
yeah,
that music sound? I notice when we're on the air, there's that little music sound. Do you know what that is, or is that the government listening in on our calls again?
That might be Blog Talk Radio. That might be their sound, background sound. I don't hear it. I'm glad that you can hear it. It's a little light elevator. It's a little light elevator music.
No, it's like a little tone. Somebody may be monitoring your...
Like a vibration. I feel the vibration. I
well,
can sense that vibration.
It's a little tone that says...
Right. Well, so we're on the Blog Talk Radio system, and have had a fellow host, another host that loves to call the show, too, like Brother Warren, and he's when Michael was so on the show with us, he explained to us that his shows, because his shows are really I guess very blunt. He's an educator. He teaches. He's a professor at a college in New York, but I think he teaches like Black history, and he goes deep like you and like Brother Warren. He goes in deep. He mentioned that sometimes his shows are monitored and then sometimes they're cut off. Like if we get to a certain topic, even a couple of times he has called into my show. When we get into a certain topic, I think once you and I in February, we talked about money and economics. And I think our conversation, the show was cut short. So I don't know what's going on, but I'm glad, you know, hey, we're speaking out, you all. We're speaking out about this because, you know, freedom of speech. We should be able to talk about.
I think my phone calls have been monitored for years. And remember when Brother Warren was telling me about my name being in that book in Jackson, Mississippi, because they had the name of everybody that protested.
Wow. And you were a teenager. Right.
Mm-hmm. 14,
oh, my God,
I
Cousin
mean,
Linda, you have chills going through my body.
Yeah,
you have chills going through my body.
Yeah, I was younger than 14 when I started attending mass meetings, but I was 14 when I was incarcerated those two times. And so they probably had some kind of, I don't know, homing system on me all my life then, from that day on, probably. Mm. And
you've been
now
being
that
tracked.
We're talking about, now that we're talking about it, never occurred to me, but I used to hear, you know, on landline calls years ago, and like you said, just drop-off calls, dropping off on landlines, which was extremely rare. So it's probably me.
On the landlines, what did we used to hear, those party calls? Or what we used to call those?
No. Party line? No, not party line.
Yes.
It was just regular non-party line lines.
Yeah, like surveillance. Uh-huh.
I think so. And I had no idea until Brother Warren mentioned that. He said, your name is in that book. Mm-hmm. And then I went.
He looked it up, and he seen. He looked it up, and he seen your name. He felt your name was in that book, and he looked it up and seen it. Wow.
I don't know. I don't know if he actually saw my name or whatever, but I looked up what he was talking about. The book where they had a record of everybody, whoever went to a mass meeting or whoever participated in any kind of civil rights movement or whatever activity. So that's probably what it is. And since this goes out all over the world, because when you first started doing this blog, I just thought it was something local. I didn't know you were reaching out and, you know, over the airways internationally.
Well, when I began the podcast, I did not know. I mean, when I started the podcast, that was another question. When I was introducing us, I was thinking about when did we get on social media, Facebook. I know I loved MySpace. And, but you're right, this podcast is not local. And that's what I explained to some people. And it surprised me. I knew when I got on, it was international. And because my friend who music we have as an intro, he and I have been friends since I joined Facebook, and he always sent me music. He lives in Istanbul, Turkey, and he always sent me music to play on the show. And so, but it just amazed me, the callers, and I don't know if you remember, I used to sell my cast with a friend of mine in England, and that's one thing that excited Mom. She loved that. It was had this international appeal, but I thought it was going to be local and regional, at least just national. But it seemed like the world love us more. Well, I won't say love us more than America. America's number one. But, Turkey's number two, and their listenership is growing. And, people should call us. Finland, Australia, Canada, Brazil, Romania. I mean, I'm like, I know, which ones have you been to, Cousin Linda? Which ones have you been to? Have you been to Brazil? Probably
yes,
too hot
I have.
For you. You don't like going to hot places.
No,
huh?
I went to Brazil, and it was in June, so that's their winter time.
Oh, so you love
Brazil.
That.
Yeah, South America, they're experiencing winter, or will be come June, which is, about a week from now. So, yeah, when we're having summer, it's winter in South America. And when they're having their summer, it's winter up here. So the seasons are just opposite.
Oh.
And I love
Brazil. So you enjoyed your visit to Brazil.
Tell
us a story about Brazil.
You haven't seen
I've seen pictures in Brazil. I think I've seen you with some locals.
I'm trying to think.
I think.
You should have seen me at the salsa place where the girls, the samba dancers.
Right. That's
and,
what I think I remember seeing you with some locals.
And at the statue, the Corcovado, Christ the Redeemer statue, the picture of me at the base of Corcovado. And I took a picture of some people, I think, on the beach. I've been to Brazil and wanted to go back, but when I wanted to go back, of course, the prices had gone up that I refused to pay. And so I looked for the next cheapest place, and it was Hong Kong. And that's how I ended up going to Hong Kong so much, because I couldn't go back to South America.
I do remember you loved Hong Kong.
yes. But I haven't been back since the communist takeover. But I would say they probably be bugging my phone because you know how outspoken I am. I'd be calling folks names.
You seem to be pretty kind, though.
You know what?
Even to you know who. Because I know you could call him.
I could really say ugly stuff.
That's what Whoopi Goldberg called him, you know who.
I don't want to offend your listeners, but if I'm talking to my friends, or if I'm on Facebook, I get real. But since you have listeners everywhere, I will tone it down.
I think that's what people love about, you know, the realness. You know, people enjoy it. You know, sometimes we both say things that people are thinking.
Yes,
but we can get realer. I can get real. I guess people, I will loosen up. But you're right. When you loosen up and get real, that's when they start tracking and following you. And everything. But they've been tracking you since preteens. And I've been being tracked, too. Because, you know, I guess it's just in my blood to be involved in the community and politics. And I've had my radical years, too. And so, you're right. They track us. One time I did a background check on myself, and I was just shocked when I found out, Cousin Linda. I found out, like you are saying about yourself, I am being watched by the DOJ, Department of Justice, different groups. What do they call those groups? Watch groups. I mean, when I Google myself and I do background checks on myself, I think pretty, probably regular, but I was shocked when I did this background check. It's probably about 7 years ago. And it showed that I have been monitored by like many agencies with the government. I know the DOJ was one, and I'm like, what? But then, you know, I'm fascinated with UFOs too. And then when you mentioned that last week about the late President Kennedy, I'm like, oh my God. You know, I've always been fascinated with UFOs since I was in third grade. And another controversial subject that you mentioned, our economy, money. When I found out that America was had this free enterprise system, I've always been fascinated. And that was in the third grade, too. I've always been fascinated. I was like, wow, the free enterprise system, that's interesting. But it might have something to do with my fascination, not with just politics, but because I have always been fascinated with UFOs and also, oh my God, the Illuminati. So that right there.
A friend of mine introduced me to the Illuminati probably back in 2011 or 12. I had never heard of the Illuminati.
Why?
It was before then, because I met her when I was at UPS, when I was at AAA, and I left there in 2010.
Getting chills again.
So I think it must have been around 2000, somewhere between 2007 and 2010 that she told me about the Illuminati. And when she was telling me about Prince, that was talking about the elevator, and the elevator was the devil, and how certain celebrities had to make these sacrifices. And, of course, you know, I love a good conspiracy theory. And I started Googling and YouTube. I go to YouTube all the time and get information on a whole bunch of stuff, but the Illuminati. And I'm just fascinated with them like you are.
Right.
But I came up in the era of out-of-space travel. You know, we had shows that go way back, Buck Rogers, and a lot of shows about aliens. And even though Superman, to my knowledge, has never been referred to as an alien, they said he was a strange being.
That's
from
what
another
he
planet.
Is.
Yeah.
But that's what he is, an alien.
Yeah, since he
But
came
that's
from
what he is,
planet.
An alien.
Right, since he's from another planet. Right. And so I grew up like you did, thinking about spaceships. We call them flying saucers in my day. Even Disney World, Disneyland had kind of space leanings or whatever you want to call them. Because I think Epcot was designed around space travel and what have you.
Exactly. And I love it. I'm just a fascinated. I went to Disney World in Orlando twice, and that must be why I'm fascinated, too, with that Epcot, because it looks like a whole nother planet.
They were finishing it up when I went down there in 73, I think. Yeah, I think it was 73 when I went. Epcot hadn't been completed. But that was all the buzz. They were talking all about this new, I thought, space, you know, if I'm not mistaken, it was having to do with outer space and that sort of thing.
Right. Ooh. Wow,
so, yeah,
this is deep. And that's what I love, too. We need to get, you know, and that's why I asked you, what topics do you want to talk about more often in the future? Because, you know, there are a lot of deep conversations that we need to have and important conversations, too, like fashion, like you mentioned.
And speaking of fashion, I was looking at an article on, I think it was Asia.com, the Jewish website, and they were saying people that you would not expect to be anti-Semites. And so some of them, the names I recognized and some I didn't. And so there was this gentleman who was dressed all up. You could tell it was a well-tailored suit, and he's looking all fashionable, I'll say. But I was saying, he looks like he's gay. And lo and behold, John Galliano, and I said, oh, yeah, I remember him.
Oh, no.
Yeah, don't you remember when
he was
talking about?
Are you serious?
Yeah, when he was calling those people, it was some Jewish ladies in this restaurant in Paris, how he lost that contract. Christian Dior, he was with Christian Dior, I think, at the time. And he was telling these ladies that they were ugly and how he didn't like Jews and Hitler. If Hitler was around, you wouldn't be here. There's a whole lot of anti-Semitic diatribe conversation. And Natalie Portman, the actress, I didn't even know she was
Jewish. No, not Natalie. I've loved her since her first movie being with the hitman.
Well, she came out and was very vocal about the racist stuff that he was saying and the anti-Semitic stuff. And I think she instrumental in getting him. Yeah, she's a Jew, so she's not anti-Semitic.
Right.
But I think she was instrumental
and
in getting
And Dan Franco
John
is,
Gattano
too. And sometimes
fired.
I wonder his thoughts when people make those type of comments.
Yeah, well, I think Natalie Portman was instrumental in helping him get fired from Christian Dior, I believe. But he's still in the fashion industry because it was the house of somebody that hired him, I think, as a creative director. I don't want to say the wrong. So I was like, well, I won't buy anything from them like I was going to in the first place. But I had just forgotten all about him because I used to love John Galliano fashion.
Right.
So he made some of the most.
And we used to see him
dresses.
So often. Now I understand why I'm sure I remember that headline story, but some people just disappear.
Yeah, well,
he's one of those people that just under the radar now.
Yeah, he was a modest designer too, because some designers are very. I can't think of the word, but they're not modest, so I'll just put it that way. They think that they're the bee's knees, the be all end all. But John Galliano said, well, I'm a dressmaker. And his fashions were
like
dressed.
Isaac Mizrahi. I always loved Isaac Mizrahi because he was always just simple but different.
This stuff was okay to me. I wasn't that crazy about his things. And that might be why
he loved to be flamboyant. But his personality, he loved to be flamboyant,
As a person, I don't have anything against, but I just wasn't that impressed with his designs, I'll put it that way. But John Galliano had just fabulous, beautiful clothes. And
he created art.
Somebody was complimenting him, and he just real, like I said, modest. I'm just a dressmaker. And I was saying, oh no, you're more than a dressmaker. Those dresses were beautiful. But I had no idea that he had those kinds of feelings, because a lot of times when a person is anti-Semitic, they're also anti-black.
Right.
And that's the way I look at it.
And LGBTQ.
Well,
they're using anti-everything almost.
Yeah.
And I thought he was part of the LGBT community.
Yeah, but I guess he was just, that particular night, his excuse was he was drunk. And a lot of people like to blame stuff on being drunk, but that's usually when you are telling the truth.
And you and I both know a lot of times when we're tipsy, that's when the truth comes out.
Yeah. But I think he was doing that apology thing because he probably was trying to hold on to his job. But the design house was not about to lose all that money based on a designer. So.
Yep. No matter how beautiful his work is, I need to Google how his designs are looking now. Shocked that I never see some of his shows for whatever house he's with now.
Well, I don't think he's
pop up on YouTube.
I think he's probably I think he's creative director or something like that. I don't think he actually has a line of fashion, and he may under an assumed name or something, but I don't think so.
Oh, right.
I kind of think he's poison in the fashion industry.
Right. Wow. And you've mentioned while we're on fashion, even same for Tuesday and Hot Topics, you mentioned that you've been seeing the winter fashion being released.
Oh, really? I know they used to do it in, like, the middle of June. I remember being downtown in Jackson probably during the 60s, early 60s, and waiting for a bus or just window shopping or whatever on Capitol Street. And it'd be scorching hot, and you would see these coats, you know, in the windows, in the showroom, not showroom, but in the windows of the stores. And I was asking my mother about it. Why do they have winter clothes out in the summer? And she had to let me know that that's the way they do things. You know, the bikinis and swimsuits and what have you would come out in the dead of winter. You know, December, you start seeing bikinis. And around January, you start seeing resort wear and a lot of spring and summer fashion. So they always
Right, because I know we would do my school shopping, like at the beginning of summer, because I would want like certain things too, and when the new stuff come out, then we would get it, and then it has to be on hold until the school season and the winter months come, but we would get things as soon as they come out. When I was a little, so I was like, and then when I became so fascinated with the retail industry as a consumer and working in it and getting a degree in it, I learned so much we're learning now with the way time's changing, how they're now up in the month, up in the time when to release certain clothing and items. I've heard experts say on some of the shows that now's the time to buy certain things, but wait a few months later to buy like appliances and, you know, household stuff. There's a time and a season for everything that we buy, not just our clothes, but certain other items also. And
they were saying the best months to buy mattresses. And speaking of clothes, in June, me and cousin Doris would go downtown and put our school clothes for the fall and winter on layaway.
Right. So, you know, so I learned it from you all. So mom, you know, I was behind all of you all. So, yeah, and mom still did that with me. June. It's hot and enjoying summer, and we're picking out stuff for winter.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so glad you mentioned layaway. I guess there are a few places that still honor layaways. But layaway was just a heaven sent for a lot of people.
I loved it because you got your merchandise and you didn't owe anybody. Your merchandise was paid for. But it seems like the industry in this country wanted to boost credit. So everybody, you know, stores had always had accounts. And you didn't have this compounded interest. And I forget which president was in all agreement with that compounded interest, because it's just almost like you can't pay a credit card off anymore. If you don't pay the balance in full when your statement arrives, then you're just up the creek. I mean, you have interest accruing, even though you're not making purchases, even though you have an unpaid balance, and you say, well, I shouldn't have to pay this out forever because I'm not using the card, but just the unpaid balance alone. And interest went from like 3% and 4% to 35%, 40% on a credit card. And I was like, a loan shark would give you a better deal than that.
Right.
But that's the way politicians are with corporations. You know, some corporate bigwig or whatever is saying, I'll give you $200,000 or $300,000 for your campaign, but when you get in office, you're going to have to vote this way. And rather than being a servant of the people who sent them to Washington, D.C. or the State House or wherever, they're beholden to somebody who has backed them. They're in that person or that corporation's hip pocket. You know, kind of like Uncle Clarence.
Right.
You know who Uncle Clarence is, right?
I'm listening. That's what I'm like, right. And I'm like, Uncle Clarence.
Supreme Court Justice Uncle Clarence, who's been taking all the vacations, even though he said he would, he was happy in an RV parking lot at Walmart.
Oh, Uncle, you're talking about sweet little Uncle Clarence that go on vacations with the billionaire tech.
Yeah, I had to go ahead and call his name since you didn't pick it up, Uncle Clarence.
Look, I know some of my friends call President. Our president, Uncle Bob.
No, I didn't know that.
Uncle Joe, I mean. But Uncle Clarence is something. He didn't feel like he needed to report anything about his extravagant vacation.
And he knew he was doing wrong because if he wasn't, he would have reported it. But he felt like he was
right
on the radar. And now that he's been exposed,
most people like their vacation to be write off. Some part of their vacation should be write off. So yes, that's a good point.
Yeah. So politicians, and now we know Supreme Court judges they're not thinking about serving the people. And even though judges are appointed, you still think that they are supposed to uphold the law and do what is correct, but they don't. They vote the interests of the people who help them get where they are.
Wow.
So what were the topics for today? I think it was supposed to be something real benign, but we just gotten all political.
Look, we supposed to have been like showing how grateful and how thankful we are. Tuesday.
Well,
what are you thankful for, Cousin Linda? But look, obviously we're thankful for everything that we've been talking about.
I'm thankful. I'm thankful to God, not to man. And I guess I'm thankful that I'm not in the Sudan or in Ukraine or Russia even, where they're not free to say what they want to say in Russia. I'm thankful that I'm not south of the border trying to enter the country illegally.
Right.
So I'm thankful for a lot of things. And now we can move on.
And I'm thankful. That's right, and I'm thankful for us being Americans, not born Americans. It just amazed me how, like you were right, people were like, you risked your life for us to have the right to vote. Look how people risk their lives, the babies' lives, just to come to America to taste freedom. And watching my neighbors from Guatemala and Mexico City, they just look, some people, like you said, I'm not coming to Jackson anytime soon. You know, they are happy to be in Jackson, Mississippi. And it's like, wow, this is just amazing. So I'm thankful. I'm thankful. Hallelujah. Yes, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for life. I'm thankful for you to be in my life. It's not many, many relatives that I talk to on a regular basis. So I'm so thankful for you to be involved with the podcast. You always called in, too, since the beginning. Because I know Mother, I think when I find that episode with Mother sharing recipes, you're on that episode. You're on that episode with us, talking about the recipes and good food that we love to eat and cook. So I'm grateful for you, and I just can't wait to see you in person, and we just video and go places and just enjoy each other's company and meet the mass seniors. Looking forward to meeting them, and just amazing. So I'm grateful. I'm grateful too.
Yeah, I'm grateful for you too, because you and Aunt Mildred are pretty much the only ones that I keep in contact with in Jackson.
Right. And I need to call her and go visit her. I'm glad you sent Uncle his card. I need to give him a call on his birthday.
Yeah. But yeah
we had such a tight knit family, and I guess we're not the only family that seemed like when social media and the internet became, it's just, you know, this thing, people, family, some families do still have get-togethers and come together a lot, but then a lot of us are different places, even those in the same cities, don't get a chance to see each other.
I'm surprised.
And then we have our family of friends.
We were so close as a family when I was coming up. And I'm just amazed at how distant we've gotten. And I tried my best to stay in touch with folks. I would send a card. I'd make phone calls, and none of that was reciprocated. And I don't know why, but when you reach out to people constantly and they never, you know, do the same thing to you, it's kind of like, well, evidently they don't want to be bothered. And I've always been a type person. I don't go anywhere. I'm not welcome. And if you just remotely act like you are not interested in me or you don't want to be in my company, baby, I move on. See you later. Bye. I'm gone.
Right. Your voice had disappeared for a second. I don't know. That might be what you're talking about. We're being monitored because your voice had dipped out.
I mentioned Uncle Clarence Thomas in a negative light, truthful but negative. And so they had to block that out. So maybe some of your listeners didn't get to hear that part about Uncle Clarence Thomas. But I was saying that when I was younger, we were such a close-knit family, because my mother used to always brag to her friends about how tight her family was and how close she was to her siblings, because she had friends who were not speaking to certain members of their family, and she thought that was just an outrage.
Right.
So I always said, no, my sisters, brothers and I are just so close. And you see how they all used to live in the same neighborhoods and always would visit each other, because that'd be at my friends always.
And we always had dinners and barbecues. We always have gatherings, dinners and barbecues and potluck. Because that's why I posted when I posted you and Unreed's picture, I stated how Mother loved to host those dinners on Sundays sometimes. And you and Unreed come in, and little gentleman Unreed would get in line just like he's a human. You humanize that baby.
I remember
that baby would get in line like, okay, mommy, let's get out.
Your mother was late getting Thanksgiving dinner put out so everybody could eat, because I think we were supposed to eat around 3, and she didn't have food ready until about 5 o'clock, and we were just starving to death. So when she finally
said, that was a surprise, because mother loved to have dinner ready before noon. But I guess this was a big occasion, so she wanted everything to be perfect.
Huge occasion. Yeah, well, it took forever that particular time, because we had come in from Dallas, Texas, if I'm not mistaken. And anyway, when the food was fine and when she was finally ready to serve it, she said, well, okay, y'all can eat now. And so Henri was the first person in line.
Because Henri was starving.
Yeah, and I was amazed that he understood what your mother was saying. And then Cousin Sharon said, Cousin Henri, you just get to the back of the line. And he looked so
right.
and went to the back of the line, and I told him, I said, baby, you can just ignore her. I said, your mother will fix you a plate, because I think I was third in line. I think Sharon probably was second after Henri. I told him, don't worry, because she hurt his little feelings.
And I was in shock. My mouth just dropped. My mom was shocked that he understood everything that was said, got in line, and then because Cousin Sharon shouldn't say that.
Yeah, Henri, he just get to the end of that line. I said, baby, don't worry. Your mother will fix you a plate. I said, you can just ignore her.
And
so when
and
I
he was looking like, but mama, and I didn't know y'all had gone through all that to get. I didn't know y'all had gone through all that to get to us too. And Paul Henri was like, well, we ready to eat.
Exactly.
And you all were talking about a pooch. I know you all know I'm an animal lover, but look, I learned it from the best, Cousin Linda. Cousin Linda, something that we're thankful for, too. Talk about when Henri received the invitation to one of the grand hotels.
Henri used to get all
in his name. You didn't get the invite. Henri, the little white poodle, he got an invite to a grand open of one of those upscale hotels in his name, not his and Cousin.
I didn't get one. Henri was a member of the, and I hate to say this, Henri was a member of the Republican Party, the Republican National Committee.
See that?
He got a little car, and he got something in the mail that asked him to make a donation, so I made a donation in his name. Next thing I know, Henri is a registered, well, not registered Republican, but he was, you know, on the Republican list. He used to get a little mail.
Yeah,
he had a charge account. It's the place is still in Fiji's. They sell, it's a mail order place that sells like candy and nuts and stuff.
Oh,
and
yeah, Fiji, yeah.
Yeah, they opened an account in his name, which I had to pay for because I was ordering stuff in his name. And he used to get a lot of stuff. You know, I guess they just look at, for one thing, his name was in a telephone directory. Because I
did Henri
as an additional listing. And so that may have been how his name got on a lot of stuff. I don't know, but Henri used to get all kinds of mail, child.
Oh! And look, I was a little young, itty bitty Republican back then. So then I don't know, Cousin Linda, you might have something making a point about how he tracked us. They might say, well, his little cousin over there in Jackson, Mississippi, claims she Republican. Let's connect her little fur ball, little fur cousin.
Yeah, I just get so tickled at all the real important stuff that would come to Henri. And you know how they sell your name to different companies and organizations and stuff. And so I guess it just was that way. You know, companies buy lists of names.
And Henri did have that type of, like, boot. He was down to earth and fun, but as a puppy, as a pooch, he did have, like, that type of, only the best for me.
Mm-hmm.
Bougie type, you know,
yeah.
Air about him.
Yes, he did. And
he was a sweetheart.
I still miss Henri. And a lot of people who about, you know, where I lived or whatever, because when I would try to tell friends or coworkers, they wanted to come by, and I'd say, well, this is how you get to my apartment. And, of course, they always made a wrong decision and got lost or whatever. And then when they finally would find my apartment, they said, well, and I asked about, do you know a lady with a little white poodle? Oh, yeah, she lives right there. People in the apartment complex would know of Henri. And they could tell people where I live based on him.
They probably would say, you talking about, they probably said, do I know a pooch whose person name is Linda?
Mm-hmm.
They probably knew Henri before they knew you.
Oh, they knew of him because, like I said, he was always barking at folks.
Ah. And he loved to get his compliments. I love to compliment him. He likes me, but I think he likes most people. But some people he would look at like,
He didn't like guys dated. If somebody came over to visit, he'd always sit in between us.
No, he didn't. Oh, goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, that's as close as you're getting to my mama. That's as close
right.
as you are getting to my mama.
One of my friends, a guy friend, came over, and he came in with a box of Milk-Bone dog biscuits and Henri
Lyson. Oh, he knew how to get to them. Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. I guess Henri said, you have a step first son, and so you need to treat me good. And
mm-hmm.
that's probably a sign how they treated you to him. Now, if they treat me good, I know they'll treat Mama good.
Right.
So he liked him. So I guess this mm-hmm. gentleman knew I said Henri something. Or I don't
mm-hmm.
have a chance.
He came in the door with this box of milk bones. And said, I got something for that little whatever. However he referred to Henri, that little dude, that little whatever.
That
and
little dude.
Yeah, you know how Henri like to spin around when it's time for him to eat something. Oh, he'll do tricks for you and just get super excited. So he was all excited about getting them dog biscuits.
That is so sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we had our time. And Cousin Deetra
I just said Cousin Deetra was crazy about him, too. Because she was his little nurse.
Oh, yes. And Mama, Diane, yes, we love Henri. This part of the family
mm-hmm.
loves him. Mm-hmm. We talked
mm-hmm.
about him like he was a human.
Yeah, because y'all started that Cousin Henri. I don't think y'all knew anything other than Cousin Henri, because that's all you ever called him was Cousin Henri, Cousin Henri.
Oh, I didn't know we started it. Yes,
mm-hmm.
Cousin Henri, as soon as we met him and heard about him before we met him.
Mm-hmm.
Cousin Henri.
Yeah, he was adopted into the family immediately.
Yes. Wow. Oh, our time will be up in about 10 minutes, though, but tell us about your last lunch date with your friends.
Okay.
Well, I think you only said it was two of you last time.
Yeah, it was just Priscilla and me. Tiffany, who we've adopted as our niece, Tiffany couldn't make it. She was helping a friend move to Houston. I don't know why. Laverne has just dropped out. She just doesn't participate. I talked to her this morning.
Oh.
She just kind of dropped out a good little while ago. Betty Jo, who's from Mississippi, Betty Jo said she couldn't make it because she had just woke up. Because Betty Jo likes to do stuff in the afternoon, like 3 and 4 o'clock, and that's too late for me. I'd starve to death if I was trying to wait for lunch at 3 or 4 or whatever.
I noticed that many of your albums are at 3 o'clock, so what time was this one?
No, they're at 11:30. I don't post these.
When Betty Jo is a part of it, they're later.
No, she doesn't come because she says 11:30 is too early for her, and she doesn't get out to bed until 1 or 2 and this and that and the other. So, and she probably anyway. But she said she didn't feel like driving across town because she lives in Heath, which is east of Mesquite, and she's not from the Dallas area. She's just moved here, I think, about 3 years ago. She would come up and visit her daughter. Her daughter is the one that's living here. And they used to live over in, I guess it's East Dallas, Buckner. You know where Buckner is?
Yes.
On the Boulevard? Okay, I think that's kind of East Dallas. And so they moved to Heath, Texas, which I had never heard of Heath. And that's the...
Heath or Keith?
Heath. T-H, yeah. She was not going to make it. And so anyway, it was just going to end up being Priscilla and me. And so we had a nice time. It was just the two of us. We ate at Anthony's Eatery on Forest Lane. And the food was good.
And what did you eat? What did you dine on?
Lasagna and salad. Some real delicious garlic bread, my glass of wine, because I like red wine with my Italian food. And Priscilla got chicken mushroom marsala, which she said was good. Mm. She got a salad, too. So this time we're going to go to Maple Leaf, which is a Canadian restaurant. And they
that should be interesting.
Uh-huh. It's on breakfast mainly. But they do have other dishes. So I've invited them to that. And I don't know. I know Betty Jo, 9 times out of 10, is not coming. Laverne definitely won't come. And my friend Eartha, I just found out this morning. I knew she had been ill. That's why she hadn't been showing up. But I talked to, I think her ex-husband, well, he's still her husband. They just separated. But he was saying that she's having to get dialysis now. So she is what I would just say under the weather, so she probably won't be able to make it. So it looks like it's probably just going to be Priscilla and me, because I don't know what happened to my friend Kalitha. Mm-hmm. Kalitha used to babysit on Saturdays, but I think she stopped babysitting on Saturdays.
Oh, yeah.
I thought
her name was missing, her name.
She lives in Duncanville, and she's not really familiar with North Dallas, and I'm not familiar with Oak Cliff and Duncanville, so I'm not going to schedule anything. We did go to Oak Cliff one time, but it was such a hard time for me and Eartha to get there. We couldn't find the place, and I just didn't
had mentioned to me recently about a restaurant in Oak Cliff.
Yeah, but we're not going to try to find it. I think it was called Soiree, but I'm not comfortable driving over there. Now, Kalitha works up here not too far from where I live, but she says she just pretty much knows how to get to work and go back home. So I can understand why she doesn't come over for lunch. But she made quite a few of them in the beginning, but you know, I guess people have kind of lost enthusiasm about it. So, like I said, it kind of looks like it's just me and Priscilla. And when Tiffany's not busy, Tiffany definitely participates. But she always brings us flowers. Uh-huh. And I met her through Jamie. And she's very, very sweet person. Mm-hmm. But she doesn't like to be on social media, so I don't post her pictures.
You know what? I noticed that I don't know if I've ever seen – I'm trying to think. Have I seen her face? I noticed that. When you get pictures around her, I never seen it like her face or anything. And that's how Tony was when I was in Dallas. He was like, "You get everything else. I'm not gonna get on camera." But you know, he was like, "When you come back, you know, we'll do all that."
Yeah. Well, Jamie didn't like to be on Facebook either. Because when people would see all this food and stuff, they'd be like, "Linda, you eating all that?" No, Jamie would be there, but he didn't want to be on the pictures. Well, he didn't want to be on Facebook. And some people was like, "Oh, my picture doesn't look so good." Because Laverne would be like, "Ooh, don't put that on Facebook. I don't look good." And I'm like, when do people get so touchy? Are they being tracked down by the police or the FBI? Are they hiding out?
And you're a private person. If you do social media and you share your life and your world, you should publish a traveling food book, though. If you are willing to do it, then like people, anybody would.
Because you do
it well. You keep your life private, but you do post on Facebook, and so, you know. You share your life, but you still keep your private life private.
Yeah,
even on the podcast, you keep your life private. You share what you feel will help people.
Yeah, and like Laverne and I met up. Well, Laverne and I went together to Washington D.C., and her friend Carolyn, who lives in Kansas, flew up and met us. And you know me, I have the phone, I'm taking pictures and stuff. And so Carolyn was like, oh, no, no, I'm not on social media. I said, oh, okay, no problem. And then she volunteers this information about she's hiding from an ex-boyfriend who was abusive. And I could really understand that. But look, it was 10 years ago. And she said he
right.
would be looking for her.
And he don't need social media to find you. He don't need social media to find her and found
her. I said, Carolyn, if he hasn't found you in 10 years, I don't think he's looking for you, because you're exactly right there. You don't need social media to find someone. A guy that I knew
right.
in Dallas many, many, many years ago called me from Atlanta, Georgia.
Because I'm a target to stalkers, you know, and to stalkers mm-hmm. and et cetera. And if they want you, they're going to get you. It has nothing to do with social media. And we're
exactly. Oh, I was just saying, this guy that I used to work with years ago called me from Atlanta, Georgia. And I was saying, because he hadn't had my phone number, and I know about 20 years. How on earth did he find me? He said he Googled me. I'm like, oh, okay. And that's funny. And one of the guys that I used to date, who is a Facebook friend, called me back in the 90s, and I hadn't heard from him in about 15 or 20 years. He just called every Linda Oliver that was in, at that time, the telephone directory.
Lord, have mercy.
Until
because, look, there are a lot of Linda Olivers on Facebook. I'm shocked at
yes.
all the Linda Olivers on Facebook. Sometimes when I tag you, another Linda Oliver will pop up. I'm like, that's not my cousin.
I think it's about 20 of them out there. So yeah, people.
Wow,
can
and
find,
he called it.
Yeah, people can find.
So he was persistent. Where
yeah,
he was persistent.
Yeah, he was. And but like I told Carolyn, if this guy hadn't found you in 10 years, Carolyn, I think it's safe to say you are not being tracked down or searched or somebody trying to find you. Because if he wanted to find you, he would have found you by now. But I respected her wishes, and I would not take her picture. And I think I did get one picture of her when we were at the airport getting ready to come back home. I think she allowed the bellboy. We had a real sweet bellboy, and he took a picture of the three of us. But I did not post that picture on Facebook. I honor people's wishes. If you don't
me
want
too.
Me
too.
Picture, I don't.
Me
but
too.
So far. Yeah, most people, you know, when I post pictures of them that they hadn't seen or haven't seen in 5 or 6 years, be like, oh, thank you. I forgot about that. Or and here recently, somebody was like,
because like you, like when I tell you I ran across some pictures, post them. There's a few pictures I still need to post that you told me. Post those pictures. You
oh,
know,
yeah.
Right. But there's some people, if you don't get that picture down. And then, Cousin Linda, you make a good point, too. The people that don't be on Facebook, they sure know what be going on Facebook.
But I remember
I'm
people
like,
that
I heard
I
this on Facebook. I'm like, how you know? You ain't on Facebook.
Yeah, I had classmates that would run into people who knew me, and they asked that person for my phone number, and they said, well, no, I'm not going to give you a phone number. So I just put it out there. If anybody asks you for my phone number, go ahead and give it to them. Because if it's somebody that knew me from the past, I don't mind them contacting me. Now, if it's the axe murderer or somebody, no. But if
right.
it's somebody I went to school with.
Be
or
a collector.
I have missed out on reconnecting with people because other folks would not give my phone number. And I said, well, I don't mind
right.
my phone number being shared.
And I asked for prayer this morning on my prayer group call this morning. I asked for prayer for reconnecting with relatives like you and I were just talking about, old friends, and even connect with new friends. You know, because it's important for us to connect with people. There's so much going on and people that we haven't heard from and would like to hear from.
Yeah, I have a friend in Jackson, and one of the young ladies who I had been very good friends with, But when I moved to Dallas, we kind of lost contact. So she ran into my friend Ann Kessens in Jackson, and she asked Ann for my phone number, and Ann wouldn't give it to her. So Ann calls me and said, I saw Pat Ford wherever, and she asked for your phone number, and I wouldn't give it to her. I'm like, well, why not? Pat and I used to be real good friends. I would love to have her. Well, I didn't give her your number. And that has happened several times. And I didn't give them your phone number.
Right.
Look, if somebody else asks you for my phone number, go ahead and give it to them. And like I said, you know, not just any old body.
And when I tell my sister, I'm always bumping into all of, like, many of you all friends. So now I know I can give your number to people. I'm always bumping into 833, to you all, 833 friends. I was born 833. I know y'all. I was graduated from Callaway, but I was born 833. So when people see me, they talk about, you know, my cousins, my siblings, everybody in the 833 family. And even Jackson State. Because Miss Pat round the corner, I think you all was at Jackson State together, Pat Beard. So even your Jackson State friends I'd be bumping into. and friends with myself.
If they want to get in touch with me, yeah, they can have my phone number. But I don't know why people are that way. Cousin Don Russell claimed that nobody in my family would give him my phone number. And the way he got my number, I think he had brought Uncle James to Jackson to somebody's funeral or something like that. And I was like, my relatives won't give you? He said he couldn't get my phone number from nobody. So he might be telling the truth.
Wow.
I don't know.
Yeah, he's telling the truth. He's telling the truth. Because some of our relatives will not give out anybody's number. Right. Yeah,
well, I never been like that. Because like I said, I had my whole.
And then some people don't want you to give their numbers out. They, you know, some of my kinfolks, they don't want their number given out without their permission. But you're right.
People,
it might be somebody they want to talk. They need to. It might be somebody they want to talk to.
And like a guy I used to work with here in Dallas, Ron Green. And when we left, because we got laid off from AT&T Broadband, and now he ran into my dear friend, Eartha, the one that I was telling you about his deal and can't make our lunches. Well, he ran into Eartha and asked Eartha for my phone number. I didn't give him your number. I'm like, well, I would love to have talked to Ron.
Oh, my goodness.
Because he's on some of our group pictures our last day at work. And I said, I would love to have talked to Ron. Well, I didn't give him your number. I don't know how to get in touch with him. I'm saying, what is wrong with people?
Then, you know, sometimes I like to give people numbers. Oh, well, like I said, well, I give Linda your number. I give Cousin Linda your telephone number, too. Here's her number, and I give her your number. Right.
Get their number so I can call them. You know, I don't get it. I'm not that snooty person, and my friends should know that I'm not the kind of person that's like, I don't want to talk to them. I'm so glad you didn't give them my number. Oh, no. I have given my number to folks.
Like Aunt Chris, the last time I visited Aunt Chris in person, she gave me a list of people numbers because I think she wanted to have a birthday party or something. But she gave me like a list of numbers. She said, you keep in contact with these people. And I'm like, I need to call some of those people. Numbers that she gave me even today just to let them know. Chris told me to always keep in touch with you. You know?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But people have just changed.
Yeah, everybody is into this privacy thing. And I'm like, ain't nothing private. Your information is on blast. And I was working at this company part-time. And our trainer was telling us to Google ourselves because we were all like, and now ain't no information out there on me. There's no information on me.
You and I just talked about that early part of the show.
We
you
were
think?
Laughing. This was like early 2000s before all that information hit the internet.
Right, before Facebook, before MySpace.
Baby, there were pictures of us popping up. Even our supervisor, because they had decided what groups were going to go to what supervisors. our supervisor was on there in a miniskirt at the club looking like she had too much alcohol. And we were shocked.
And that's what they tell people with a plan for jobs. They say, think about what you what's out there on social media. But you're right. You got to think about stuff that you didn't put out there, but it's out there.
Because I saw pictures of me and friends in the club, too. You know, nothing that you would be embarrassed about. But there were some pictures. Cause I know,
but it shows a sign of you that your coworkers don't see.
Well, they may or may not or whatever. But it's just, I had no idea that my stuff was out there in cyberspace, just like the rest of us in that class. We were just shocked.
Right.
It was just funny. You know, how did they get this? And we hadn't shared this information online with anybody. Nobody. I think MySpace might have just...
That's when we were calling... Look, that's when we were still saying the net, right? That was the magic of the net, baby. That was the magic of the net.
And see, and all these people that I have posted on the internet, people where I have taken pictures when I was traveling, and I just be taking folks. But even like now when I'm in the restaurant and people will pop up in my picture. And I'm like, see, they don't know that they're out there in cyberspace and on Facebook and stuff. And Laverne and I had eaten lunch at the
same people that say they don't want to be out there. They be out there.
Yeah, they out there. And like me and Laverne were having lunch one Saturday at, I think it's called Blue Mesa, a Mexican restaurant. And our waiter's name was Tony. Tony was so nice and sweet. And, of course, I was snapping pictures, but I did ask.
Most ponies are.
Tony, do you mind if I take your pictures? He said, no, ma'am, I don't mind. I said, do you mind if you be on Facebook? He said, no, I don't care. I'm out there anyway. Yeah, I blasted Tony all over Facebook. So... And who knows, you know, I've seen people taking pictures in restaurants and at other places, and I'm sure, you know, they snap me in the background, me and other folks.
Right.
So I don't care.
Right. I try to be mindful sometimes, like, or I let people know, like I like to, you know, do the videos too, even if they're just from my phone video, record stuff like you were saying. If I'm not going to post it, just for me to look back in. But my foodie pictures, I try not to get other people. But, you know, but, hey. Right. And then I like to take pictures of the exterior and interior of things.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And from way back in the past that I've posted on Facebook. And I'm just wondering, I wonder if any of these people ever see themselves, you know, or maybe somebody they know will be like, oh,
right.
That's so-and-so.
And they might say, oh, my God, where did this picture come from? I remember that day when that that patron or when that lady, when that tourist took a picture of us.
And right. You mentioned tourists because I can see it now. I was taking pictures of one of the department stores in Paris, and these two guys pushing a baby, so I guess they were a gay couple or whatever, they asked me if I wanted them to take a picture of me facing the department store, and I was like, oh, yeah. So they took a couple of pictures of me, and then they turned around and asked me to take pictures of them. Now, I don't know them from Adam's House Cat, but I was glad to take pictures of them, and, of course, they on Facebook, too. I posted them. So a lot of people, you know, just don't care. Now, if I'm in a country that says you must ask, you must get permission to take a picture of somebody, I try my best not to have those people in my photos. I'll wait till they pass by or something like that. Because I think in Dubai you need to get permission to take pictures with people. And some other country. Yes, it's some other country that I was in where they say you can't get permission.
Because, you know, I dreamt about shopping in Dubai Mall, so I'm glad you have told me that. Because, look, I probably had my phone out ready for us to do a documentary. Cousin London, I and friends in Dubai. I don't want to get locked up there.
Did you see, I posted some pictures of Dubai, I think yesterday or maybe day before yesterday of Dubai activities.
Okay, I'll look.
So, yeah, so many things. I tagged you because so many things that weren't there when I was there in 2016 that they have now.
Mom and I was so fascinated, and you sent us. I still have that postcard that you sent Mother and us. Mm-hmm. That beautiful, beautiful postcard you sent to us.
Yeah, and I sent one to my friend Benny in Portland, Oregon. He used to live down the street from y'all, Bethany. I don't know if you remember Benny Watts. We used to call him June, and his other friends call him Duck, so I call him Duck now. But they live down there.
I remember Duck in Georgetown or in this neighborhood?
In Georgetown. They live.
Okay, I remember Duck.
Okay, well, yeah, I sent him a postcard from Dubai, and he just happened to be out jogging with somebody this particular day when he got the postcard, and they were trying to tell him about Dubai. He said, look, I got a friend that's in Dubai. I got the postcard to prove it. And he said he pulled out the postcard.
In Dubai as we speak.
Yeah, he pulled out the postcard and showed it to him. Like, you're not the only one that knows something about Dubai.
Right. So he lived next door to what uncle?
Uncle Mutt and Uncle Herman. They used to live in an apartment, duplex apartment next door to where Duck Nam lived.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Uncle Mutt and Uncle Herman used to live down there. Do you remember Ronnie? Let me see.
Weathersby. That's what I was going to say. It must be down there. That was my next question. Ronnie Weatherby, yes.
Uncle Doug Nam lived on Madeira Street. You remember where Uncle Mutt and Uncle Doug and his family lived on Madeira, right? In that duplex apartment.
Right.
Okay, because in fact, your mother used to live there because it was she and Aunt Chris used to live there. They were roommates.
Right.
And Chris moved out, and your mother stayed, and then your mother moved out when she bought the house down on Scott Street. And Uncle Doug and his family moved in, yeah. 1126.
I think Mother told me that she and Aunt Chris were roommates, and then I think Aunt Gladys moved in, and then Uncle Doug moved in, and Mama bought the house. Right.
Yeah. Right. Well, Duck lived across the street from the Weathersby.
JoJo, Rosalind, yeah, Rosalind and Audrey, down there by them, and Anna. I was in Anna's wedding.
Were?
She lived.
Anna, I was in her wedding.
I was her flower girl. I need to find my flower girl picture. I was her flower girl when I was like five.
Well, she's a Facebook friend of mine because I thought Anna had forgotten me, but she sent a friend request. Yeah, we've been friends about 3 years on Facebook, I think.
Because Roslyn and, JoJo, I still call her JoJo, Roslyn Audrey now, we communicate almost every day on Facebook, but I think I have asked, is Anna still married, to the same husband, right, that she...
Is
she still married to him?
Jackson? I don't know, cause she and
I don't know. I think she's in Alabama. I thought she was in Alabama, but she might be here. I don't know.
She was in Jackson one while, cause she and Uncle Mutt were friends.
Okay.
I think I have seen her
name before on JoJo's page, and I'm not sure if I sent her a friend request or not. But I'm like, there she is.
I think she used to babysit Boo Boo and Sheila. And I know she was in Jackson one while because I would hear that Uncle Mutt, I think her car was in the shop or something, and Uncle Mutt ran a few errands for her or something.
Okay.
So I think she was. In Jackson. And then I heard Cheryl was in Alabama, so I hadn't heard from Cheryl, and I can't tell when. And there's a picture of Cheryl that I reposted just the other day when we were cheerleaders at Lanier.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, repost those.
Yeah, Girl, I got a gazillion pictures out there because I went through my yearbook and reposted, and I had taken pictures, and I just reposted. Well, they came up in my memories. I don't know if Facebook send you memories every day.
Is that how you posted that post of my brother, Chris?
Yeah, Christopher.
It came up in your memory?
Mm-hmm. It was like,
and I was glad to see that.
Yeah, 9 years ago or 5 years ago. Some of them have been 1 year ago today. And I just, a lot of them I repost jokes and all kinds of stuff. And I'd be so glad to see those pictures because sometimes I've forgotten about them. And it's easier for me to repost trying to.
Well, I was glad to see your repost because that repost of Christopher Dale, and I liked my write-up on that. And it didn't pop up on my memory. So I'm like, cool, because I was going to look for the picture and reshare that same picture. But then I liked that write-up, and I think it was like from 2018 or 2019. So I was so glad to see that repost.
And your mother and Uncle Albert popped up again, so I reposted that one.
Right. Yes. So look, you are an amazing historian too. Now, Aunt Christine and Uncle James and Uncle Mutt and Uncle Herman were good historians. And I do need to go visit with Aunt Mildred because I love her stories too, like your stories. And I love it. Look, I know whenever I sit down with her, she always had to retell her story, being the first black salesperson, not one, at Sears. She always had to retell that story to me ever since I was a little girl until now. Every time we sit together, just she and I got to hear that story.
Yeah, she tells me that story over and over, too. I
got to hear it. Not the first woman, the first person, the first African-American, black. She was hired before the gentleman. That's a hidden figure.
Yeah, because
hidden figures are everywhere.
She got me on that summer at the snack bar. I was supposed to work 2 weeks, but Miss Boney, the head of personnel, asked me if I wanted to stay until school started, and I did. And I was so glad because I bought a bunch of clothes. I was going to Jackson State.
And
I don't know why I bought all clothes, because in college you could wear whatever you wanted to wear. You certainly didn't have to, like, you know, look good. But I just, I've always liked
clothes.
But you
always was fashion conscious. I always loved your fashion style. Yeah, our family always had wonderful fashion style.
So I worked and bought clothes. Should have been paying tuition, but I was buying clothes. But at that time, my mother was paying tuition. I was like, why would I be paying tuition? Because I can buy some beautiful clothes. And I went and put a ton of stuff on layaway. But I knew that I didn't want to work at the snack bar. Now, Doris started working there, I think, a couple of years after I did. She said she liked it, but I didn't. I did not like working at that snack bar. And I worked there 2 weeks, and then after that, when Miss Boney asked me if I wanted to stay until school started, and I worked up in shipping and receiving.
I think Midra shares your story, too. Yep. When you mentioned Miss Boney.
That's when I found out the markup on retail. Something might be wholesale, whatever, was like $2, and when they put it, out on the floor, it might be $45 or $50. I mean, the markup is ridiculous.
And I love Shark Tank, and that's the first question that the sharks ask. What's your cost and what's your markup? When people are presenting their
Hello?
Excuse me, Cousin Linda. Oh, we've been off air about 4 minutes.
But I had to mute myself, Cousin Linda, because I had to pee so bad, and I did not want you to hear that waterfall.
Hold on. I was
talking, and I was like, "Whoa, I better mute this button right quick." Hold on.
Oh, I thought we were off the air about 20 minutes ago.
When I said we had 10 minutes, they kept us on, and it ended about 5 minutes ago. Yeah, because Terry had called in and was on, but he didn't want to be on air. And then you hear my phone ringing in the background. That's him calling, like the show is still on. So it had just ended about 4 minutes ago.
How come they don't want to be on the air? Do you know?
Well, listeners do want to be on the air and like being on the air, but they like to be consistent. And so that's why I'm working on a good schedule for us so we can be consistent and talk. And that's why I asked you about the topics you want to discuss, too, because so that attracts people, too, depending on what topics we're talking about.
When they are listening, how come they don't want to say something?
I have no idea. Like Brother Warren called in, and he's a host also. People would just, there's a call in this, and you know, like the guy called from Atlanta. And then sometimes when we get consistent, there would be like a roll, a list, a line of people listening and wanting to talk and share their comments. That's why I asked you, what topics do you want to talk about? And so I'm going to go back to doing like I used to do, just sit down and write out the show topics and let it be a structure. But I like our spontaneous way of talking, too. And a lot of listeners like that. There might be what people outside the country like, that we have conversation.
Mm-hmm. I see on the news now, breaking news, former First Lady Rosalynn Carter diagnosed with dementia.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how old is she? Because she...
Well, President Carter, about 95 or something, I think, if not older. And so she ought to be there with him. But remember when they had sent him home from hospice and he's still living.
Right, and now you're saying she have dementia. I'm like, Lord, yeah. And look, when they sent home, Cousin Linda, you know they started doing tributes like the man was going to die within a week. I said to myself then, I bet he's going to live much longer than they think.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been almost 6 months now.
Mm-hmm.
And now she have dementia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so sad.
Nobody know what, Cousin Linda? Nobody know what, Cousin Linda?
Nobody knows when you're going to leave this earth but God.
Exactly.
The doctors might say you got 2 days and you might live 6 months. So they may say you have six months and you might not have but 3 days or something. They just don't know. That's in the hands of God.
Yes. And look, and when they announced he was going to hospice, they were reporters were crying, and you see, they were interviewing the church members, and they were crying, and they were like, "It's the end of lifetime; it won't be long." And now we're hearing about her. Lord, have mercy. That is amazing. But I know they're in their 90s, but still, when you hear certain news, it's like, what?
And some people, you know, even though they are 100 or whatever, they still very cognizant because old Henry Kissinger turned 100 and he's still cognizant. He may, you know, have a little problem.
You should have seen me the other day, and you were the first person I thought about. When they said happy 100th birthday to Henry Kissinger, I looked up just like we were talking about Bob Barker.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I thought about Cousin Linda. I was like,
yeah, and his wife is still his wife is still with him because they showed him and her, I guess, going to the birthday party or whatever they were honoring him at.
And the pictures of him, if those are recent pictures, he looked good.
Uh-huh. But I was surprised his wife was still there with him because I was like, she was much younger than he was when he married her. And I thought she was just marrying him for the name or whatever. Now, she might still be trying to hang on in for some money or whatever. And, you know, she could have truly loved him. married an old dude. She was old to me to be a first-time bride. That's Andrea Mitchell on MSNBC.
Oh, yes.
You know, she married.
Yes,
Alan
I love
Gold.
Her. She's married to an old Jew. I didn't know that. Woo, she's married to some money. All you need to do is say old Jew. Oh, my God.
Yes, Alan Greenspan.
Andrea Mitchell, too, at that.
Yeah.
Andrea Mitchell, not no fool.
Well, she still stuck with this old man, Alan Greenspan.
Stuck.
He was what over the former. I think he had a job Janet Yellen has. Something to do with money.
Yeah, I remember. I'm gonna have to Google that. She's the treasurer. She's the treasurer Janet Yellen. She's the treasurer, the one that was like, y'all need to do something with this debt ceiling.
Yeah, well, and that's what Alan Greenspan did, something in that capacity, if not the treasury secretary. But anyway, Andrea Mitchell was 53 when she got... You want to answer your phone? I can go on and get on all
That's just Terry in the past, and look, we're not even together, Cousin Linda, and that's just him. You ain't got Colin, you know how they are.
Yes,
we need to talk about the. I love the episodes when you talked about dating and dating mannerisms, and you're making a good point talking about Andrea Mitchell and how people marry. And when she married what?
When she married Alan Greenspan, I think she was 53, which wasn't no spring chicken, and I think he was like 75 something, and I was like, ooh, how could she stand it? Because I don't like old men. Not to be trying to be in a relationship with them. And I was saying, ooh.
Exactly. One of my neighbors was like, my neighbor across the street, her yard man lost his wife, and he in his 70s. And she's like, well, he like you. I'm like, now that man, no, I don't like him that way. I'm friendly to everybody, but I'm friendly to him. And then the other day, she's like, oh, he's Mr. So-and-so. I asked about you. I said, I'm not interested in no man that is old enough to be my uncle or young enough to be my son. I ain't interested in nobody to remind me of an uncle, a daddy figure, and nobody young enough to be a son either. I mean, you know, that like younger guys, I like younger guys. Young guys like me, but not nobody young. No, and nobody old either. I dated Charles. That was my once May December relationship, and I enjoyed it. But I told her, I said, I'm not going to be a caregiver. Look, I don't care how much money they had, Cousin Linda. You're right. I don't care how much money they had. I told her I'm getting my life, and I'm finna look, Cousin Linda. We're getting ready to travel. We're getting ready to do business and travel. I am not getting ready to be stuck with a caregiver.
And then they be jealous. You can't walk out the door. They think you're going to see another man or something.
Terry 9 years younger than me and a cheater and everything and so jealous. You're right. And old man.
Yeah, once you start showing a jealous side, I definitely don't want anything to do with you because that can lead to all kinds
exactly.
of abuse. And I just rather not get involved in that kind of situation. You know, you stay on over there where you are.
Uh-huh.
Because I used to say...
You took me back to old geezer, but back to the old geezers.
But I
remember when she married Alan Greenspan. And I do remember when she was married to Alan Greenspan. Yeah.
She's still married to him because to my knowledge, he's still
him, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I do remember when she married him. She was 1 year younger than I am now. Yep.
Mm-hmm. So how old are you? 50?
54. And so we're going to be celebrating 54. My 55th birthday.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Okay.
Now, Salbe, he might be 15. Look, he'll be 40. I'll be turning 55. So hopefully he show up. Now, he's not too young.
Oh, my.
The president of France, I think his wife is much older than he.
Oh, okay. And back on Salt Bay, Beth, I hate to say this, but I think Salt Bay might, the law, he might could be a member of LGBTQ. Don't you think
he's gay? I researched. Well, you know, I think that was one of my first questions to you. What did you think? And I don't know. Maybe I didn't ask you, but I thought I asked you if he was gay. If you thought he was gay or bi. I know some mannerisms that seem. But then I thought, well, he got mannerisms like Prince.
Okay.
So he got the mannerisms like Prince. He got the manly mannerisms, and then he got the mannerisms to make you look like. But
well,
when I Googled and researched, it says everything I Googled to find out if he has a gay history, it says he's heterosexual. Some people there were some rumors, some thought he was married, but he's single. He's single,
yeah.
But you're right.
Yeah.
He has the manly mannerisms. Then he does something like Prince does. So he do those things like Prince used to do and make people think, like, what's going on?
Well, you got a lot of gay men who are into that bodybuilding stuff, and they're very conscious about his body. And you have gay websites that's dedicated to nothing but them kind of bodybuilding type men. And
right, because my friend.
Who?
I asked you that question. It was on the tip of my tongue. Right after he got banned from the soccer thing, and they were sending me his videos, and he was sending his people were sending me his videos, and so then I'm thinking, I'm like, I need to ask Cousin London if he's gay or not. So it was on the tip of my tongue, but then I said, well, I'll Google and research and see if I see anything come up.
Yeah,
and so when I did that. Why? Because you probably would have said what you're saying now if I had asked you. And then everything popped up that he's heterosexual. Not even that he's on the down low, because I'm good. I can find out if you're on the down low, but then he might be really good on the down low.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, he's just been kind of coming across that way to me. And, you know, it might be a girlfriend somewhere out there that we ain't heard about, but seems like somebody would have surfaced. So,
I hope he shows up at the birthday. His birthday is a couple of days before mine. So maybe, look, our radar, we know from a distance watching it on video and social media, but we sure figure it out when we see him in person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree with you, because I'm like, let me ask him, I'm like, let me Google, and then I'm like, okay, because he has an orphanage, people think he have children, and so, you know, when people see pictures with children, some people think that the children that he be in pictures with are his own children, but they're not. He called them his children because he has an orphanage, and that he take care of orphan children.
That's very nice. I posted a picture.
And then he donates half his money earned from his hotel and his coffee house. He donates half of that money to young people and helping train them and teach them. And also, with this earthquake, he's like one of the only private citizens that's doing a lot, using his restaurant and using his money to take care of the homeless people from the earthquake.
Well, that's wonderful.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad you brought that up. Because sometimes, like, okay, wait a second. But then, I don't know, some people like to appeal. But, you know, I'm not going to be in denial because, after, you know, the dealing with Terry, you know, Terry, he's LGBT, so. So that's when you were talking about men the other day. I was like, I need to stick to the, to like you were saying, the cowboys.
Yeah.
What they call them, the man's man. Because he like rugged stuff, too. He loved to do hands-on stuff and house remodeling, building.
Well,
you're right. That doesn't mean a thing.
Yeah, is he still LGBTQ? Because when y'all were dating, I thought he had gone all the way straight. So he kind of...
He was at the time. But, you know, Chris loved him and stuff. He was at the time, but I don't know. I'm thinking on the down low. I'm like you about South Bay. I'm thinking. Because, look, God can't do change people. So he was just, you know, and even I, you know, when we had first talked, when he, like, proposed about the ring, and I even talked to Cousin Will, he even believed it. You know, that, yeah, you can be delivered from it, you know?
Usually when
they... He talk about women. He talk about women, but I'm like you about South Bay. Like,
Usually when they've experienced homosexuality, it's extremely difficult to give that up and then try to be heterosexual. Because I think once you've experienced that gay lifestyle, I've seen so many people on TV or online or whatever, they just go back to it. You know, they may have given it up for a decade even. Because I think, if I'm not mistaken, I was reading about that yesterday. I can't remember who the person is, but they had stopped being gay, and then they just went back to it after a whole bunch of years.
Wow. I wonder who you're talking about. I hope you remember who you're talking about.
It'll probably come to me.
But he's just calling away. He called me, and I believe he loved me and everything. But his mother didn't accept me, so I'm beginning to think now that it's not personal. She probably thinking, like you just said, you just can't, even though she's a Christian too and play gospel music all the time, she's probably thinking, I know my son, how he turned straight off, you know. I don't know. Because most mamas like me. Most mamas like me, and you know, so I'm like, wait a second. But then I was thinking maybe she just didn't believe it. He ain't going to change, you know.
Okay. But she shouldn't take that out against you.
Yeah, right. And still get to know me. And then that didn't help. That doesn't help. Because that hurt him and upset him. Like, two women he loved, he wants us to be around each other and be together. That cousin that said she would help you find AJ's family, because some of AJ's family is married to his family. Badges.
Oh, what?
So I guess his name is Keys, and there are some Badges married into the Keys family, or Keys married into the Badges family. And his mom did say she knew some Badges. And his cousin, Tamika, she loved me. His cousin Tamika and some other relatives, they loved me. She just feel like, oh my God, stop, straighten yourself up. But, not that cousin Tamika. Because she told you, she said, yeah, I know she, when y'all was talking in comments, she said, yeah, she'll help get you reunited with your Badgett people. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
I wonder what celebrity you were talking about.
It wasn't, you know, somebody major, evidently, because it would have popped up. Because I think it might have come up on a website, like people you didn't know were gay.
Uh-huh.
And, mm-hmm. And so I don't know who it was.
Well, Shamar, I love Shamar. What's his name, Shamar Moore? And I know, and Mom knew how much I love Shamar Moore. And for some reason, I think, you're right. Out of nowhere, a website popped up on my net showing Shamar in Atlanta with a bunch of gays doing gay stuff. And I told Mom, I said, because Mom had that gift also. She could tell me, she said, I believe you on the download. Lo and behold, that video just came, and it was like a private website. That website came up. I'm like, Mom, I just seen a video with Shamar Moore at one of those underground gay parties. And he was doing gay stuff. That's not like, I know you can do meet and greets and go to parties, you know, because certain people are your fans. He was participating with them, enjoying himself. Like, this was personal. And now he's married, and I think he's expecting the baby or just had a baby. So when you say they'll go back to their lifestyle, that makes me think about him.
I hadn't heard that about him. I never did like Shamar Moore.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I never heard anything about him. It's just that he's been a bachelor a long time and just got married. And I think somebody said he had been married to Sinead Lathan or something in the 90s. I don't even remember that. But because I'm thinking this is the first time being married. But I had not heard that either, but I sure seen the video. I probably have the video saved somewhere in my email.
Well, some of my stuff popped up, or either I looked at it. It might have been me looking at stuff on YouTube for Jamie. I think it was YouTube. Fox was hosting these parties and showing guys that were questionable or whatever, you know, where the public is questioning them, showing up at his parties. Mike Tyson. And, you know, it's always been rumored that
people. I heard he had Buckwild parties, too. They say his parties are lit.
Yeah, P. Diddy. And like I said, it's always been out there that he's supposed to be just downright gay. And
to my P. Diddy.
Uh-huh.
Look, and your cousin Linda, and see, I'm thinking P. Diddy and South Bay are like best friends. They do business together. Because South Bay sell his spirit, his Ciroc and all that in his restaurant. But then I know what I have heard about. I don't care how many children he got. I have heard throughout the years that he's on the down low.
Mm-hmm. Well, even
and then that made me think, too, where he and South Bay like best friends, like real good friends. I'm like, wait a second. Are they more than friends?
Yeah, well, I didn't know that. And some of the other guys, you know, rap artists that's no longer afraid to come out as being gay. Because, you know, rap, you had to be hardcore thug.
Right. Like Lil Nas. Lil Nas, he know he just don't care.
He disgusting. But what's his name? Them two quarters, 50 Cent.
Please don't tell me you have heard things about 50 Cent.
I sure have.
Oh,
now, you know,
wow.
Folks spread rumors.
And you talking about somebody prideful about their body. You talking about somebody prideful about their body. Wow. We think they getting their bodies ready for women, and they getting it ready for somebody else.
For men, yeah. I saw something, I don't know if it was YouTube, many years ago, where these gay guys had this website, you know, where they be trying to meet each other. And they are bodybuilder type guys. They say, no pansies, please. So that means they don't want no effeminate folks. They want just regular beefy guys.
And you know what? My married friend in Dallas, And even Michael, when before I started dealing with Michael, Michael used to always ask me, if you see, notice I post a guy named Marcus Patrick. And he and I have been friends since 2006 online. Because when I used to try to get my writing published in periodicals, I attempted to get my writing published in Playgirl before it went strictly online, when they were still sending out the paper form, the magazine form. And so he's married now with 5 children, and he makes good money, not working at LeBaire Dallas, but he works at, he stopped working at the Tin Room. You heard of Tin Room? It's a gay bar. But now he's working at The View. It's a gay strip club. And so he strips for other guys. And you make a good point, because all the strippers at the Tin Room and at his new gay bar, he's the manager now, are buff guys. None of them are feminine type strippers. None of them are prince like. All of them are like hardcore, rugged. You know, none of them are the feminine type. Nobody like, it's always a prince type somewhere, but all of them are hardcore. And you make a good point. His wife loves it. He danced with men and massages. He make a lot of money. He make a lot of money. You know, and the way they got together, he was in a relationship with a much older woman. I don't know if they were really married, but they were kind of long married. And so you don't have people allowed a third in. So his wife came in, and this thing I know, his own wife left. She was like, I guess they were going to do the polyamorous relationship. Then this thing I know, his main thing left, and then his wife that he's married to now with 5 children, they're still together. But she loves it that he dance with men and bring that money back. But Michael asked me, he said, is your friend bi? Michael asked me, is he bi? I'm like, I don't know.
It's probably a money thing. Some women will put up with anything for money. Look how long Kris Jenner stayed with Bruce Jenner. She knew it was something strange about
it.
Yeah, she knew that. Usually a woman knows, because when these men are really into other men, it ain't nothing a woman can do for them. In fact, they find women disgusting and having sex with a woman.
Exactly.
So, but I know when I first heard about gay men stripping clubs, I was working at AAA. And this black lady called in early one morning. I think it was about 6 o'clock or 6:30 or something. And she needed a tow truck. And so when she gave me the name of the club and the address, I said, it's early in the morning. I was just teasing with her. And I said, you at the strip club this early in the morning? And she started laughing. She said, well, I'm here to pick up my nephews. She said, both of them work here, and they work in the men's restroom. You know, passing out perfume and really not doing anything. You know, they just be in where they have the perfume and the paper towels or whatever. And so she was telling me that her nephew, well, I said, yeah, sure. I said, blame it on your nephews. And we just kept laughing and everything. And then she got serious. She said, girl, she said, you would not believe the tips that my nephews get. She said they were making like $600 a night.
That's what my friend Marcus Patrick talked about. He had to keep his clients happy, baby. And he's even a massage therapist, so he have an advantage. He give his clients massages, and you know